holiness Janadhar Swami Maharaj. I sincerely welcome everyone to Ekachakra Gram. And this very beautiful, auspicious day. Actually, speaking in a tent is nice because everyone is attentive. At least tentatively. It is my great honor and pleasure and fortune to be amongst all of you today. The mercy of Srila Prabhupada is manifesting unlimitedly in unlimited ways. And one of the most wonderful exhibitions of his mercy is the opportunity to gather together to hear and chant the glories of the Lord. And for devotees, any setting that they come with that sincere desire, that place becomes Vaikuntha. How many places has the devotees of the Hare Krishna movement had kirtans? How many various places do they have Harikatha? Recently I was in Italy and we had a 5-hour Srimad Bhagavatam class in a cave. It was actually a 5-star cave. It's very nice. It was in the middle of a jungle wilderness. A big cave. 65 people sat in the cave. And the ceiling was so high, everyone was dancing. And it had nice natural air conditioning. The rocks were so cool in a hot day. Actually, 300 years before, that cave was used by a Christian monk. There was a little altar carved into the rocks. So in that place we were having Harikatha and Harikirtan. Anywhere the devotees come together to hear and chant the glories of the Lord, that place is actually transformed into Vaikuntha. The art of transforming material energy into spiritual energy was what Srila Prabhupada taught the world. Do you own this tent or are you renting this tent?
Renting.
So God knows what has taken place in this tent. But today this tent has become the spiritual world. It's giving shelter to the Vaishnavas from the rains and the cold and the winds. Whoever uses this tent next will get certainly very mysterious, unknown benefits. So yes, we want to transform every situation we are in into an opportunity for loving devotional service to the Supreme Personality of God. That is the difference between material and spiritual. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matya sarvam pravartite iti natva bhajante mam bhuta bhava samandita. Krishna tells he is the source of all material and spiritual worlds. Everything emanates from him. The wise who know this perfectly engage in his devotional service with all their hearts. So everything is coming from Krishna. Therefore everything is spiritual. Because coming from Krishna, who is the source of everything, everything must be good. Everything must be spiritual. Material is to forget a thing's relationship with Krishna. everything within creation, when it is used in Krishna's service, it actually brings us closer to Krishna. But when it is used for our own perfect, personal, egoistic interests, out of ignorance, then it is the cause of bondage. So remembrance of Krishna is the source of liberation, and forgetfulness of Krishna is the cause of our bondage. It is so simple. But this world of karma is such a complex network of illusions when we forget this principle. Srila Prabhupada taught us that you should see every situation as an opportunity to serve. Then you become a first-class devotee. Even in material life, actually, a person who sees every situation, every place, at all times, is an opportunity to actually advance in their goal. They're the most successful. Prabhupada said, if a person's actually a real businessman, anywhere you put him, he's going to see an opportunity to make money, and he's going to make money. Because he seizes every possible opportunity. I've seen this one devotee was trying to learn mridanga. So everywhere he goes, he's playing the mridanga on every beat, just learning beats. He became a great mridanga player because he's just seeing every opportunity to learn a new beat of the mridanga. So Krishna consciousness really means seeing every situation, however wonderful or however horrible it may appear as a crisis, it is an opportunity to serve. It is an opportunity to take shelter. It is an opportunity to cry out Krishna's holy names and to do something wonderful for Guru and Krishna. And a person who has that consciousness is always making spiritual progress at all times. In all situations. And the only impediment to our spiritual progress is the failure to have that consciousness. To take the opportunity that Krishna is giving us, however inconceivable and mysterious it may appear. Today I have been ordered by His Holiness Shripad Dhanadhar Swami Maharaj to speak on the subject of the life of Raghunath Das Goswami. This great acharya is a profound, extreme perfect example of this principle. Vyavashayatmaka Vyudhir Eke Hakurumandama Bhushaka Hyanantashtra Buddha Yogyavashaya. Krishna tells that those who are in this path, they are resolute in purpose. Their aim is one. If our minds, if our determination is irresolute, their intelligence becomes many-branched. What is that resolute determination? Conviction, commitment, that in every situation I'm going to serve Guru and Krishna. I'm going to take the opportunity at hand. And that determination is actually a very, very serious price of bhakti. At the time of initiation, when people take vows, they're making commitments. And that commitment, not only does it connect us formally to the mercy of the previous acharyas, but it also gives us a real sense of responsibility. I have to be determined now. I have given my word. So real spiritual advancement is very much built upon the foundation of our determination, of our one-pointed fixed vision as to where we want to go within our life. What is our ideal? What is our goal? And once we establish that ideal in our life, then we must orchestrate every aspect of our life so that it is favorable toward progressing toward our ideal. Because Maya Devi, the illusory energy, will be putting detours, diversions, obstacles at every step of our path. Unless we really are resolute in purpose, unless we are determined, unless we are fixed to make progress toward our goal, we will undoubtedly be diverted. And what is the great tragedy of such a diversion? We waste our valuable time within this human form of life. One of our dear godbrothers served Srila Prabhupada very faithfully at 26 Second Avenue, actually. The very beginning, he did wonderful service. But then somehow or other, by his previous conditionings, by some lack of determination, he fell astray for many years. Then he got cancer. He had 6 months to live. In his last days, I met with him, and he actually started to cry. He said, "I have no regret that I'm going to die at any moment. I have no regret that I'm suffering excruciating, unbearable pain. I have no regret that everything that I held so important in my life is going to be dragged away from me. But I do have one regret, which is causing severe pain to my heart. I could have done so much to assist Srila Prabhupada in my life, but I wasted so much time due to my weak-heartedness." And then he just cried like a baby. I realized that Srila Prabhupada was bringing him right home back to Godhead. His love, his commitment, his conviction. But it is a fact, every moment is so precious. So many people in this world are suffering due to ignorance. They're wasting their human lives. If we are pure, if we are united, if we are determined, so many millions, tens of millions, hundreds of millions of people can be brought back to the lotus feet of Krishna. But due to our petty attachments, due to our insignificant desires, that just come and go, pleasures and pains just appear and disappear. But we're so attached to trying to grab onto them. And they cause conflict between us. And although we've been given so much, we waste so much time. And so many people's hearts are suffering because we are not giving them Prabhupada and Krishna's mercy. Raghunath Das Goswami was brought to this world by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to show the highest principles of vairagya, or renunciation. In the true sense, when I used to live in Himalayas in the early 1970, I saw people who were doing intense vairagya. I knew one man, you know what his sadhana was? He would do a headstand with his head buried under the ground. All day long. He had no air to breathe.
People would just, and he had a little gumsha where people would put coins because, you know, he was, and little children used to steal whatever other people put, because he couldn't see. Now, where did he get air from? I examined very carefully. There was, he was up to his, below his neck. It was buried underground. So that's tapasya, is it not? Didn't eat, didn't sleep, didn't breathe. But for what? Business people, they do great tapasya for money. Yogis do it for mystic powers. Others do it for liberation. But Raghunath Das Goswami taught us what real renunciation is. To not waste a moment where we're not absorbed in the glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was born in a set of villages, seven villages, that is called Saptagram. Have you ever been to Saptagram? In Adi Saptagram, there is the home of Uddharandath Thakur, who was a very intimate associate of Lord Nityananda. At that time, it was a place where goldsmiths were living. People were very, very materialistic. And it was considered that these merchant class of people were the most difficult to make Krishna conscious, because they were so absorbed just in thinking of, you know, wealth, 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 and they had so much. But Uddharandath Thakur, he was so powerful, he went to that place. He began Harinam Sankirtan movement. He invited Nityananda Prabhu to come, and they had, for days and days and days, they had such intensely ecstatic kirtans of dancing and chanting. Nityananda Prabhu just gave his profuse mercy to these people. Vrindavan Das Thakur said that was the greatest kirtan in history amongst these very, very materialistic people. There's a deity there, actually, that Srila Prabhupada explains. His father used to take him when he was a little child on a regular basis to worship that deity. About 2 miles from Adi Saptagram is the village of Krishnapur. It is part of the seven villages of Saptagram. That is where Raghunath Das Goswami appeared in this world. He was the son of Govardhan Majumdar, and his uncle was the great Hiranya Majumdar. They were so powerful and so immensely wealthy. They had huge estates that they owned, and they were taxing people. They actually had an arrangement with the Nawab Hussain Shah that they were directly dealing with him and extracting taxes and giving to him. And they were to keep very nice commissions. Srila Prabhupada explained the amount of money that they were making is equal to millionaires, if not billionaires, by today's society of standards. Very wealthy. And in the whole family, there was only one heir to the entire fortune, and that was Raghunath. But from his birth, he showed very little interest for enjoying the things that wealth could provide. In a nearby village called Chandpur, Balaramacharya and Yadunandan Thakur were residing. Balaramacharya was the family's priest, and Yadunandan was the spiritual master of the family, including Raghunath Das Goswami. After Srila Haridas Thakur converted that prostitute into a Paramahamsa Vaishnavi at Benapal, he left and came to Chandpur to live with Balaramacharya and Yadunandan Thakur. Yadunandan Thakur was a very, very great Brahmin, a disciple of Advaitacharya, and a Shiksha disciple of Vasudev Dutt. So he was very, very personally dear to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he brought Raghunath, when he was just a young boy, to meet Thakur Haridas. Haridas Thakur's renunciation and his complete absorption in chanting the holy names of Lord Krishna were so deep, it had a great influence in Raghunath's heart. Sanatana Goswami said about Haridas Thakur that some people speak very nicely, but they do not act appropriately. Other people act nicely, but they cannot speak properly. But you both speak and act according to the highest platforms of devotion. Therefore, you can change the hearts of all people. You can be guru of the world. Haridas Thakur would chant minimum 300,000 names of Krishna every day. He was so absorbed in chanting that even when Maya Devi herself personally appeared in the form of the opposite sex to divert his attention, she could not. Can you imagine spending three full nights alone with the complete manifestation of Maya in the form of the opposite sex? Don't even try to imagine such a thing. You will die. But there she was with Haridas Thakur. All of her potencies, all of her qualities were just attacking him. 12 hours, continuously, for 3 days. And he was just so absorbed in chanting that he didn't even take note of it. And in the end, she surrendered to him and begged him for initiation. That was the power of Haridas Thakur's renunciation. So Raghunath Das Goswami developed such a deep attachment to Krishna, to the life of renunciation. Here was his father and his uncle in palatial palaces, huge estates, wonderful clothes and food and reputation. And here is Haridas Thakur living in caves, sometimes with snakes. And Raghunath Das Goswami was so affected, so transformed by Haridas Thakur's association. I want that. That will be real happiness, to live like that. After Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted sannyas in Kakpa, Kantaka Nagar, Nityananda Prabhu was bringing her to Vrindavan. However, Nityananda Prabhu knew, although Lord Chaitanya wants to go to Vrindavan, so much he was just craving to go to Vrindavan, and in his heart of hearts, he wanted to please his devotees. So Nityananda Prabhu arranged for instructions by which Lord Chaitanya would come to the Ganga at Santipur. He stayed at Advaitacharya's house. Sachimata was brought by palanquin from Navadvip. And all the devotees came for many days of Harinam Sankirtan. At that time, Raghunath Das, with the permission of his father, came to visit Lord Chaitanya. His father and uncle were actually the main donors of the Gaudiya Vaishnava community. Or let us say, at that time, it was the Vaishnava community. They were funding Advaitacharya's efforts. They were even funding Jagannath Mishra, Lord Chaitanya's father. They would give very, very elaborate donations to the Brahmins and Vaishnavas. So when the son came, Advaitacharya already had such affection for him, he brought him right in to see Lord Chaitanya. That was their first meeting. He fell at the feet of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and surrendered his life. When he went back home to Krishnapur, he had no other reason to live except to serve Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission with his body, mind, words, and life. He saw everything else as an illusory distraction. So his parents became very worried about him. He had everything, but he wanted nothing. So they decided, in this emergency situation, they should marry him to the most beautiful young lady, which they did. But still, he had no concern. In fact, he would secretly run away from home to go to Puri to serve Lord Chaitanya. But his parents had guards capture him and bring him back by force. Then he would run away again, and his parents would capture him and bring him back, run away again. It became a daily affair that he would run away from home. The type of wealth, prestige, that everyone in the world is foaming at the mouth, working to achieve, he was trying to escape from. Just 2 years ago, we had a yatra of many devotees in Mayapur, Navadvip town, and we went to Krishnapur. I had longed to go to that place for so many years, the birthplace of Raghunath Das Goswami. And when we were giving a lecture about his life, I was thinking, what is my consciousness? For years, I'm longing to come to this place, and for years, he was longing to get out of this place. During one of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's attempts to go to Vrindavan, he again stopped in Chantipur. And Raghunath Das Goswami, he begged his father permission to go and visit him again. He went. But he had guards around him. He fell at Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's feet and begged Lord Chaitanya, begged him, please by your mercy free me from all these material entanglements. And let me come and serve you with my heart and soul. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave him very mysterious advice. He said, you should not be a Markata Vairagi. You should not practice the renunciation of a monkey. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains, what is a monkey's renunciation? They don't wear any clothes. They don't have a house. They just live in trees. They just eat whatever the trees provide. So they seem very, very renounced. But what is their consciousness? They're always thinking in terms of sense gratification. Each of these renounced monkeys has so many female monkeys to enjoy. So he said, you should go home and you should act just like a first-class businessman. You should pretend to be very much absorbed in all of your responsibilities so that no one will detect that in your heart you're constantly absorbed in remembering Krishna. And very soon Krishna will bestow his mercy upon you and free you from all of these encumbrances. So Raghunath Das Goswami went back home and appeared to be what Prabhupada called a first-class pound shillings pence man. And his parents eased the guard. They were becoming comfortable with the situation.
Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains the story of how there was a chaudhari, a Turkish tax collector, who actually felt cheated that the father and uncle of Raghunath, they were dealing directly with the king, and they were not giving any share of the taxes to him. So he did an investigation. And he found out that they were keeping back 300,000 rupees every month that were meant for the king. So he brought that to the court officials and got an order, and the guards came to arrest them. So they fled. So they arrested Raghunath Das. He was put in prison. And it's this Turkish tax collector, he was a very envious person, very greedy. And every day he decided, I'm going to torture that boy. I'm going to beat him. But then when he would see Raghunath's face, he was just so full of peace and so full of love. He couldn't beat him. So one day Raghunath said to him, that actually, you and my father and uncle are just like brothers. And the nature of the brothers is sometimes they get along very nicely and sometimes they fight. But then those fights should not be taken seriously, because after fighting for some time, you know, they'll get along nicely together. But you are like my father. I am your son. Certainly, the problem with my father and you will be resolved. But you should protect me. I am your son. And you are a very saintly Muslim. You live by the highest principles of religion. So I know you will understand these things nicely. He melted the heart of this wicked, cruel, envious tyrant to the extent that tears profusely flowed through his beard. And he said, yes, yes, you are like my son. You are my son. I will protect you. It is my duty. I will find a way so that you can get out of prison. Please tell your father and uncle that they're keeping extra money. They should share some of it with me. If they like. So he let him go. And Raghunath Das arranged a meeting between his father, uncle, and the chaudhari, and they settled things and became very happy. Prabhupada uses this example to show that Vaishnavas are not just fools materially. Vaishnavas are very expert. Raghunath was very expert at diplomacy, at mediation. There's a lot of mediation talk these days. Raghunath Das Goswami was the original mediator of our sampradaya. Yes. But he did it all for the higher purpose of Krishna consciousness. So in this way, Raghunath was behaving in a way that eased the fears of his family members. Then he heard that in a nearby village called Panihati, Lord Nityananda Prabhu had arrived with many of his followers. They were performing such incredible kirtan at Panihati. Unbelievable kirtans. When Lord Nityananda Prabhu was in Puri, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him that, why are you staying here with me? My mother has asked me to be here, but the people of Bengal, they need Krishna consciousness. Go there like a madman, without discrimination. Give the holy names to everyone. And Lord Chaitanya gave some of his best associates for Lord Nityananda to go with. The trip to Panihati was something extraordinary.
They were so intoxicated with the holy name, they really didn't know where they were going. Abhiram Thakur, as the kirtan began, he just became so much entranced, he stood in a threefold bending form like he was playing a flute for 9 hours. And the devotees were just chanting and dancing around him until he came out of his consciousness. Then they began. They went for hours and hours and hours. They asked somebody, which is the way to the Ganga in Bengal? They said, ha, you're going the wrong way. It's that way. So they left and they started going that way. Chanting, dancing, so much engrossed. After so many hours passed, they asked somebody else, where is the Ganga? Where is Bengal? They said, ha, you're going the wrong way. It's the opposite way. It's that way. 4 hours that way. So they started going that way, chanting, dancing. Some hours later, they asked, where is Bengal? They said, huh? It's 8 hours the opposite way. That was their kirtan. But somehow or other, they arrived in Bengal. Nobody knows how, but they arrived in Bengal. And the first place they went was Panihati, to the house of Raghava Pandit. And what an incredible kirtan took place there. Nityananda Prabhu, by his glance, he empowered everyone with his ecstatic love. Since this is the Panihati festival, listen carefully what kind of kirtan they had so that we can try to follow that kirtan according to our realizations. Devotees, he would just glance at someone and they would just become ecstatic, chanting and dancing. People were just in so much happiness, they wanted to dance with the trees. They put their arms around it and uprooted. Just ripped the tree out and they're dancing. Somebody else embraced 5 trees at the same time and uprooted them. He was dancing. Another person started dancing up a tree. To the top of a tree. Then he started dancing on the branch up until the tiny little twigs. He was dancing on it way up high, but by the power of the holy name, he didn't fall. And other devotees climbed to the top of trees and just said, I'm a cowherd boy, and jumped off the tree. Amazing kirtans. Nityananda Prabhu said to Raghava Pandit, make me a garland of kadamba flowers. Raghava Pandit said, but we don't have any kadamba trees. And besides that, it's not the kadamba flower season. And Lord Nityananda said, go in your courtyard and see if there's anything there. He went to his courtyard, and on a lime tree, it was just filled with fragrant, fully blossomed kadamba flowers. So they brought, made garlands for him, decorated him with beautiful ornaments as the kirtan continued. Sometimes Nityananda Prabhu would just glance at somebody and they would actually fall unconscious. And he looked across the room and like, was this is the power of his love. And then a great miracle took place. Everyone smelled the fragrance of Dhammanaka flowers. But there's a problem here, because Dhammanaka flowers only grow in Orissa. They don't grow in Bengal. There's not even a Dhammanaka tree. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally, nobody could see him, but he personally appeared as a Dhammanaka tree to witness their chanting and dancing. This kirtan went on like this for 3 months. No one ate, no one drank water, no one slept for 3 continuous months. They simply chanted and danced. Then they went out into the roads in the village side, and little kids, little tiny children. Nityananda Prabhu glanced at them as the kirtan was going on, and they started roaring like lions. They're dancing and chanting, and they were uprooting trees and dancing with them. And the parents came to bring them home for prasad, and the children were just, roaring out the holy names, and the parents didn't know what to do. But they saw that they were with Lord Nityananda Prabhu, so it must be very good. These little children, for 1 month, 30 full days, they did not eat, they did not sleep, they did not drink of water, they just chanted and danced. And Lord Nityananda would embrace them and rub their heads and give them, and he treated them just like his own children. So this was the wonderful pastimes of Paniyati. Raghunath Das Goswami went to that place to meet Lord Nityananda Prabhu. When he arrived, Nityananda Prabhu was sitting on a stone platform under a big sprawling banyan tree right on the bank of the river Ganga. Surrounding him was his most intimate associates, such persons as Ramdas Abhiram, Sundarananda, Gadadhar Das, Parameshwaru, Murari Chaitanya. These great souls were all gathered together at the feet of Sri Nityananda. Raghunath Das Goswami, from a distance away, offered his prostrated obeisances without speaking a word. One of Lord Nityananda Prabhu's friends exclaimed, "There is Raghunath at a distance offering obeisances." And Nityananda Prabhu saw him and called, "Raghunath, come here. You are keeping a distance like a thief. Therefore, come here and I will give you your punishment." Raghunath was so humble. He considered himself so contaminated by all the material environment that he was living in. He didn't dare even come close to Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Lord Nityananda Prabhu personally got up and went to Raghunath and brought him and placed his lotus feet on Raghunath Das' head. He said, "You are keeping distance, therefore you are acting like a thief. Today your punishment will be, I want you to arrange a feast of chick rice and yogurt for all of my associates." Raghunath Das Goswami was so happy to hear this. Immediately, because he had all of these guards around him, he engaged them in service. They went and got huge quantities of chipped rice on Nityananda Prabhu's arrangement. A 7 gigantic clay pots. In each of those, there was very hot milk filled. And they soaked all the chipped rice in those 7 gigantic clay pots in the hot milk to make it soft. Then half of the chipped rice they mixed with yogurt, sugar, and bananas. The other half they mixed up with condensed milk, a particular rare form of banana called champakala, and also ghee, camphor, and sugar. When the news of this festival came out, not only were the Brahmins and the priests coming, and Nityananda Prabhu was greeting them and sitting them beside him on the stone platform, but so many respectable people, all kinds of people, started coming, thinking, "Nityananda Prabhu is calling us for a feast, let us go." Soon, the whole platform was filled with people. Then people were sitting along the banks of the Ganges, so many that there was no space to sit on the bank of the Ganges. People were standing in the Ganges. And every particular person had 2 clay pots. One with chipped rice and yogurt, sugar, and bananas. and the other with chipped rice soaked in condensed milk, camphor, clarified butter, sugar, and bananas. Lord Nityananda Prabhu was so pleased to see this, so pleased, that he called in meditation for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to personally come to participate in this joyful feast. He made a seat for the Lord. The Lord appeared to sit beside Nityananda Prabhu under the banyan tree on the bank of the Ganges. Only very, very special, blessed devotees could see the Lord. This feast became such a popular event that all the shopkeepers from all the villages surrounding Panihati, they came with all their food, all their sweetmeats, all their fruits, and Raghunath Das was buying it all, paying the market price, buying it all, and then giving it back to them for free. Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda personally roamed through the crowds. Prabhupada called them eaters. He roamed through the crowds of eaters. And Nityananda Prabhu took a porcelain of chipped rice from all the pots and put it in Lord Chaitanya's mouth and laughed. Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took some chipped rice from each pot and put it in Lord Nityananda Prabhu's mouth and laughed. To see the ecstasy of Nityananda Prabhu, the whole crowds became overwhelmed with joy. Then they came back and sit down. Lord Nityananda Prabhu proclaimed to the masses, "Now everyone, honor Prasad and chant the names Hari Hari!
Hari Hari!"
And Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda Prabhu began to eat their chipped rice soaked in two pots. And all the devotees began to eat their chipped rice soaked with two pots. There were 20 servers just constantly serving more and more and more chipped rice into the two pots. They were being soaked. Such a wonderful, blissful festival. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda Prabhu finished their eating, someone came and offered garland and sandalwood to Lord Nityananda. After everyone washed their hands, Lord Nityananda Prabhu personally put garlands and sandalwood pulp on all the devotees. Then Lord Nityananda Prabhu took the pots that he ate from, as well as the pots that Lord Chaitanya ate from, and offered them all to Raghunath Das. Raghunath Das shared with his servants, and with great, great happiness, took that direct remnants of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. Nityananda Prabhu told him, "Because you will take the remnants of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all your desires will be fulfilled." During the feast, actually, Raghava Pandit came from his temple nearby, and he said to Lord Nityananda, "You already promised to come to my house for lunch. There's already a big feast offered to the deities. Nobody's there to eat it." Nityananda Prabhu said, "But I am a cowherd boy, and I like to eat on the banks of river with other cowherd boys. Picnic. Tonight we will come to honor all the prasad at your house." So after this Chira Dahi Utsav, Lord Nityananda Prabhu took rest. And in the evening, they assembled at the house of Raghava Pandit. There Lord Nityananda Prabhu induced the other devotees to begin chanting. Then he encouraged the Vaishnavas to dance. And as the kirtan was becoming more and more and more developed, Sri Nityananda Prabhu himself personally began to dance. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so pleased by Raghunath Das Goswami's devotional efforts. He was so happy with Nityananda Prabhu's dancing that he personally appeared and danced with Lord Nityananda Prabhu in the house of Raghavakunda. This dancing went on throughout much of the night, after which there was a wonderful feast served. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains what kind of prasad Raghava Pandit would serve. He and his sister, Damayanti, they were such empowered cooks. They had such a pure love and devotion that any time they went into their kitchen, Srimati Radharani would personally manifest herself and she would cook through their hands. Because she received a benediction from Durvas Muni, not that she needed it, but she received a benediction that whatever she cooked would be sweeter and more ambrosial than nectar. In fact, every single time Damayanti and Raghava Pandit cooked in their kitchen, they would offer it to the deities, but they would make a special place just for Lord Chaitanya. There was the deities getting, and Lord Chaitanya, they would make a seat, and he would come without fail to eat whatever they prepared. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita explains, one of the places Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu always appears, whenever Sachimata cooks, whenever there's kirtan at the house of Srivas, wherever Nityananda Prabhu dances, and whenever Raghava Pandit and Damayanti cook, Lord Chaitanya comes. Sometimes Lord Chaitanya would actually appear before the eyes of Raghava Pandit, and he would see him eating everything, even though he was in Puri. So they served this feast. Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda Prabhu ate it together amongst all the other devotees. And after they finished, Raghava Pandit gave the remnants of both of the Lord's Maha Prasad to Raghunath Das Goswami. The next morning, Lord Nityananda Prabhu was sitting on that same stone platform under the banyan tree. And Raghunath Das Goswami approached him. Due to his humility, he submitted his appeal through Raghava Pandit. He spoke to Nityananda Prabhu after bowing down at his lotus feet with great humility, that I am the lowest of men. I am the most fallen, the most condemned. I'm completely immersed in materialistic life. In my hopeless condition, I am begging for your mercy. I have tried time and again to escape from my materialistic condition, but every time I am dragged back. My only desire in life is to achieve the loving service of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But for me, to expect such a thing is like a dwarf trying to touch the moon. But you, Nityananda Prabhu, you are all merciful. Even the lowest and most condemned can attain the highest benediction by your kindness. It is well known that no one can approach Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu without your mercy. Please free me from the contemptible condition of materialistic life and give me shelter at the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Nityananda Prabhu on the bank of the Ganges in Panihati Gram, was so pleased to hear the sincere prayers of Raghunath Das. He turned to his associates and he said, examine the renunciation of Raghunath. He has the wealth of Indra, the king of heaven. He has a wife that's as beautiful as an angel. He has all popularity, prestige, and everything a person could want, but he is not attached to any of it. He wants to give it all up for the service of the Lord. Just as Bharat Maharaj left behind his entire kingdom, palaces, and all of his wealth, as a man leaves his stool behind after passing. He told all the devotees, please give your blessings to Raghunath Das Goswami, that his aim will be fulfilled. Raghunath Das Goswami then went and worshipped every devotee, and each of them blessed him. Then Lord Nityananda Prabhu spoke. Because you have arranged such a wonderful feast that Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has personally come to accept it. Because you have given such pleasure to the devotees and you have received their blessings, you will receive the mercy of the Lord. Very soon, you will be freed from all the entanglements of materialistic life. You will achieve shelter at the feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You will be such an intimate, confidential associate of the Lord, he will personally put you under the care of his own secretary, Swarup Damodar Goswami. And without impediment, you will live in his loving service in the renounced order of life. Raghunath Das Goswami's heart was overwhelmed with joy and hope. Sri Nityananda Prabhu then placed his lotus feet on Raghunath Das Goswami's head. Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, after honoring and worshipping all the devotees, he gave large sums of money for the service of Nityananda Prabhu, and with the help of Raghava Pandit, he gave donation to each and every devotee present according to their needs. To him, that was the only value of his money, is to use it in the service of the Lord and the Vaishnavas. Then he went home. But his mind was so obsessed with escaping, he didn't even sleep in the house. He slept in the Durga Mandap, a temple, in the courtyard in front of the house. And again, he was trying to escape. They had 11 guards, 24 hours, watching him. Raghunath Das Goswami's mother was so upset with her son. She said to her husband, our son is mad. He just keeps escaping. We have to keep dragging him back. I think we should just tie him up with ropes. Govardhan spoke to his wife. He said, he has the wealth of Indra. He has a wife who's like an angel. If these things do not keep him tied to his home, what will ropes do to serve that purpose? He has received the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and therefore he is like a madman. Who can restrict the movements of such a madman? So Raghunath Das Goswami was always meditating on how to seize the right chance to escape from wealth, luxury, sense gratification, popularity, prestige, and power. How to escape from this prison house of these atrocities.
Hare Krishna.
Now please, try to evaluate what is in our hearts. What do we want in life? What is dear? What is precious to us? You cannot imitate Raghunath Das Goswami. But we could understand the principle that he is representing. And according to our means, we should fix our ideal on following in his footsteps. That our aim is to love Krishna. Our aim is to serve Krishna. And we will accept what is favorable and reject whatever is unfavorable. That is the criterion of every decision we should be making in our life, on all levels. How could I best please Guru and Krishna? What will best help me to awaken my love for Krishna? Late at night, actually just before the sun was going to rise, when only four dandas remained of the night, the guru of Raghunath Das Goswami and his family, Yadunandan Acharya, appeared in the Durga Mandap and woke him up. He said, there's a problem. The Brahmin priest, my disciple, who's worshipping the deity, he's given up his service. There's no one else who could do the deity seva except him. Please convince him to continue. This is a common managerial problem. ISKCON is definitely in this type of parampara. So, Raghunath said, yes, yes, I will go. So they were walking and all the guards were sleeping. So he and Yadunandan Acharya left. Raghunath said, actually, you don't have to come with me. I can convince this person. You go home and go to sleep. Yes, I will go home. Raghunath was thinking, now is the chance to escape. He left into the forest. He wanted to go to Puri, but he knew that soon guards and police would be searching for him. So he went the eastern direction, which was not according to the main path to Puri. He did not take any main roads. All night and all the next day, he just wandered through the forest. When the family woke up, they wondered, where is Raghunath Das? They asked Yadunandan Acharya, and he told them, he has escaped. But we know where he is. This is the time that Shivananda Sen is bringing his 200 to 400 devotees to Puri. He's probably joined them. So Govardhan sent some guards, messengers, to meet up with Shivananda Sen at a place called Jankara. And there, Shivananda Sen was asked, is Raghunath here? He said, no, we have not seen him. He is not with us. And they were helpless. They didn't know what to do. Raghunath Das, the first day, traveled 30 miles through the forest. The next night, he came to a cow shed, and he was given a little milk. He took rest where the cows sleep, and the next morning continued his journey. He traveled for 12 days until he reached Puri. In that 12 days, he only got food on 3 of the days. But the whole while, he felt no inconvenience because his mind was so thoroughly fixed with the hope and the anticipation of achieving the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. That was his absorption. He arrived in Puri. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was with his devotees. Mukunda Dutt said to the Lord that there is Raghunath Das. He is offering obeisances. Lord Chaitanya approached Raghunath Das because he would not come before the Lord. He felt himself too unqualified and contaminated. The Lord placed Raghunath Das, grasped onto Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's beautiful lotus feet. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so pleased, picked him up and embraced him. When he heard of Raghunath Das's escape, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's heart became so softened with love. He spoke to his devotees, praising him. He said, Raghunath Das Goswami, to escape from such a materialistic life that you had can only take place by Krishna's mercy. Raghunath Das was too shy to speak, but in his mind he replied that I do not know who is this Krishna, but I do know that your mercy has saved me from material life. Lord Chaitanya said to Raghunath Das Goswami that it is very, very difficult to escape materialistic bondage without the mercy of Krishna. Your father and uncle, they were like brothers to my maternal grandfather, Nilambar Chakravarti. Therefore, grandchildren sometimes make jokes about or with their granduncles, so I will speak something humorous now. That your father and uncle, they are like two living worms who reside in stool within the ditch of material enjoyment. Very difficult to get out of that ditch. Although they're Vaishnavas, or almost like Vaishnavas, still they are not pure. Still they have material attachments. That was Lord Chaitanya's standard. They were devotees. They were disciples of Yadunandanacharya, one of the Lord's intimate associates, grand disciples of Advaitacharya. They were funding Jagannath Misha, Advaitacharya, the Brahmins and the Vaishnavas with their wealth. But still, Lord Chaitanya, he would not compromise pure, unconditional, loving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that materialistic life is like stool. And even if you take a worm out of stool, which is liberating them, what will they do? They'll just go right back into the stool. That is tendency. To come out of that condition can only come through the rare fortune of Krishna's causeless mercy. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw that Raghunath Das was very thin from no food. His clothes were tattered. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt such pity and love, such love for him, such gratitude to him, that he said, Raghunath Das, to today I am putting you under the care of my own personal secretary, Swarup Damodar Goswami. Now there will be three Raghunaths, Raghunath Vaidya, Raghunath Bhatt, and the Raghunath of Swarup Damodar. Then Lord Chaitanya personally took Raghunath Das's hand and then took Swarup Damodar Goswami's hand and put them together. Swarup Damodar Goswami expressed that I will follow your order. I will take care of you. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu turned to Govinda, said, bring him for a bath in the ocean. Then take him to see the lotus-eyed Lord Jagannath. Then bring him back here for Mahaprasad. Then the Lord left to perform his duties. And Raghunath Das Goswami took shelter with all humility of every one of the devotees who were assembled there. He was falling at their feet, and they, seeing how much the Lord loved him and how much mercy he was receiving, they all lifted him up and embraced him. This is Vaishnava culture. After taking his bath in the sea, seeing Lord Jagannath, he came back, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally arranged his own food remnants to be fed to Raghunath Das Goswami. For the next 5 days, Raghunath Das Goswami ate the food from the plate of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. On the sixth day, Lord Chaitanya asked Govinda and Swarup Damodar, where is Raghunath? Swarup Damodar Goswami explained that he wants to live more and more in a spirit of renunciation. Therefore, at the Singhadwaram, the main gate of Jagannath's temple, after the Pushpanjali offering of Jagannath in the evening, the pujaris and servants of Jagannath come out of the temple, and at that time they give charity of Jagannath's prasad to the beggars. He's sitting in front of Singhadwaram as a beggar, just collecting whatever they will give him. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so happy to hear this. He said, very good. He is becoming more renounced. Mahaprabhu bhakta kanaya vairagya pradhan. In this particular instance, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami speaks a particular sloka that's very important for all of us to understand. Renunciation is the basic principle of the lives of the followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Seeing such renunciation, the beautiful golden avatar, Lord Chaitanya, is very, very pleased. So he stood at the Singhadwaram. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would see him. He was very happy. His standard of simplicity. Lord Chaitanya said, now he could just without any distraction or disturbance chant the holy names constantly and be absorbed in meditation on Jagannath. When Shivananda Sen's party returned to Bengal, Raghunath Das Goswami's family sent messenger to Shivananda saying, did you see Raghunath Das? Did you see our son? Is he in Puri? Shivananda Sen very happily said, yes, we have seen him. Who does not know Raghunath Das Goswami? He is now a famous renunciate. He's chanting the holy names constantly, tears of love in his eyes. He's become an intimate associate of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He has taken such a life of renunciation. He just lives and he only eats as a beggar at the Singhadwaram. And sometimes when he doesn't get anything, he fasts. Therefore, he's lean and thin. And he only wears clothes that are discarded rags of others. And he wears a kopan and a chadar. And he's very loved for his renunciation by all the Vaishnavas. Parents were not happy to hear this. Their hearts were broken. Severely broken. So they said, we want to send some crooks and some money to maintain him. We can't get him back. They gave up hope that they could ever bring him home. But at least let him live a comfortable life in Puri. So she went on to say, said, next time we go to Puri, you could send your... You can't go there alone. But if you come with me and the group, then send your servants and your cooks and your Brahmins and your money, and we will then bring to your son. So the next year they all came. And they gave a large sum of money to Raghunath. Plus there were all these cooks and Brahmins. Raghunath Das Goswami did not accept anything for himself. He used everything for the service of Lord Chaitanya and the devotees. 2 days every month for the next 2 years, Raghunath Das Goswami arranged a wonderful feast for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the devotees. After this 2 years passed, Lord Chaitanya asked Swarup Damodar Goswami, why Raghunath Das is no longer inviting us for a feast? He said, Raghunath Das is thinking that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu really doesn't want to take this prasad, this fancy, nice prasad, because it's ultimately coming from materialistic people. He's just doing it to make me happy. But if I want to make him happy, I should increase the level of my renunciation. Oh, well, where is he eating now? I don't see him at the Singhadwaram begging. Why isn't he begging anymore? He said he was thinking that that was too luxurious. Now he's just going to the free food booths where they just give food to the beggars. Lord Chaitanya was very happy. He said, this is very good. Because when these people are sitting at Singhadwaram, they're seeing the pujaris and the priests coming out, and they're thinking, this person gave me something yesterday, will he give me something today? Why isn't he giving me something? In this way, he's calculating. Actually, to sit at Singhadwaram was like a prestigious type of begging. But to go to these free food booths was just the ordinary beggars do that. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very happy that he was now begging in a way where there's no discrimination. You just accept whatever little you have to go and beg. After some time, Raghunath Das Goswami was considering that that was too much sense gratification. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inquired from Swarup Damodar Goswami, I don't even see him at the begging booths. Where is he taking his food now? Swarup Damodar Goswami explained to him that Raghunath Das Goswami, he is eating at a particular place in the middle of the night when nobody is around to see him. When the prasad of Lord Jagannath is sold by the shopkeepers, after some days, what is not sold becomes rotten and spoiled. So they just dump that old, decayed prasad in a pile near the Singhadwaram, where the Tailanga cows come throughout the day and eat it. some of the rice is so spoiled that even the Tauranga cows cannot tolerate it. They just taste it and spit it out. Raghunath, in the middle of the night, he collects that rejected, decomposed rice and washes it and takes the inner hard part of it, mixes it with salt, and eats it. In fact, Swarup Damodara Goswami actually tasted some of it when he saw Raghunath Das Goswami eating it. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very enlivened to hear this. So he went to Raghunath Das Goswami's kutir just at the time when he was taking prasad. And Raghunath immediately hid it. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Raghunath, it's time for prasad, I know. Let me have some. What are you eating?" Raghunath says, no, there's nothing here. But Lord Chaitanya, who knows everything, he's the knower of past, present, and future, he knows all things. He forcibly grabbed that prasad and took a mouthful of it. And Swarup Damodara Goswami just could not tolerate seeing the Lord eating such type of food. He said, "My Lord, I will not tolerate, you cannot eat this anymore." And Lord Chaitanya smiled and turned to Raghunath Das Goswami and said, "I have tasted so many sabjis and sweetmeats and cakes and so much of the Mahaprasad of Jagannath, but I have never tasted in my life such sweet and delicious food as what Raghunath Das Goswami is eating every day." What was he tasting? He was tasting Raghunath Das Goswami's renunciation. And what was the basis of his renunciation? Not false ego, not desire for some higher powers. His renunciation was based on his complete humility and love. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could taste that. He was so pleased with Raghunath Das Goswami that he personally gave him the two most precious possessions that he had. A sannyasi named Shankarananda Saraswati came from Vrindavan. He gave Lord Chaitanya two gifts. A Govardhan Shiva, stone from Govardhan Hill, and a Gunja Mala. Gunja is a particular type of seed of a plant of Vrindavan. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the mood of Srimati Radharani, he would see that Govardhan Shila as non-different than the body of Krishna. And he saw the Gunja Mala as Srimati Radharani. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would wear that Govardhan Shila around his neck. In his ecstasies of love, he would put that Shila on his eyes and his forehead and sometimes press it to his heart with intimate affection. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his tears were constantly upon the body of Krishna in the form of that Govardhan Shila. And sometimes when the Lord was in ecstatic emotion of love of God, he would put on the Gunja Mala around his neck and wear it. For 2 full years, the Lord constantly covered that Govardhan Shiva with his tears. He presented Giriraj and the Gunja Mala to Raghunath Das Goswami. He said, "Every day you worship by bathing with water and you offer tulsi leaves. Actually, a tulsi manjari with one leaf on each respective side of the manjari. Such simple worship." So Raghunath Das Goswami accepted. In his heart of hearts, he was thinking, "By giving me this Govardhan Shila, Lord Chaitanya is giving me residence at Govardhan Hill. By giving me the Gunja Mala, he is giving me the shelter of the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani." Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had Swarup Damodar Goswami buying very costly sweetmeats to offer the Govardhan Shiva every day. But he never ate it himself, even the Mahaprasad. He lived with such simplicity. Sri Chaitanya, Raghunath Das Goswami, even though he was constantly in the association of Lord Chaitanya, in his humility, he didn't even speak to him. If he had any questions, he would always present it through Swarup Damodar Goswami. At one time, during the beginning of his pastimes in Puri, he asked Lord Chaitanya, Swarup Damodar Goswami approached Lord Chaitanya and said, Raghunath Das has a question to ask you, but he's too shy to ask you directly. He says that I've left my family and all of my wealth, and I do not even know why. What is my duty? What are the activities of one in the renounced order of life? Lord Chaitanya replied that actually Swarup Damodar Goswami knows all these subjects better than me. You could learn everything from him, but since you asked me, I will tell you. He gave Raghunath Das Goswami the essence of renunciation. Now, renunciation is not simply for brahmacharis and sannyasis. Renunciation is the basic principle of every devotee. Renunciation means to use our body, our mind, our words, and our life in the service of the Lord rather than for selfish, egoistic purposes. Advaitacharya, Srivas Pandit, Pundarik Vidyanidhi, Shivananda Sen, Nityananda Prabhu, some of the greatest acharyas were Vihastas, Thakur Bhaktivinoda. But they practiced this spirit of renunciation. That they were not in a mood of exploitation, they were in a mood of service. Even with houses, wives, husbands, and children. So these instructions that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave to Raghunath Das Goswami are foundational principles for everyone who wants to get the mercy of the Lord. Shall I speak them? Gramya Katana Shunibe Gramya Bhartha. Lord Chaitanya said, do not speak Gramya Katha. Do not speak ordinary, mundane subjects like the common people of this world. And do not hear such topics either. You should eat simple and dress simple. You should offer all respect to others and expect none in return. Constantly chant the holy names of Krishna and meditate on Sri Sri Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. Then Lord Chaitanya said, I will give you one more instruction. Trinarapi sunichena taro ibase Krishna. Amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. That you should be more humble than the straw in the street. Eager to serve in that spirit. You should be tolerant like a tree. You should offer all respects to others and expect none in return. In this spirit, you can chant the holy names of the Lord constantly. These are the essential principles of real renunciation. And for all details, you could get from Swarup Damodar Goswami. Raghunath Das Goswami took those teachings as his life and soul. For 16 years, he served Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the servant of Swarup Damodar Goswami. He personally witnessed the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. He saw the Lord dancing in the Ratha-yatra in the spirit of Sri Radharani's love. He became the dear, intimate, confidential friend of all the Vaishnavas. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu disappeared from this world, Swarup Damodar Goswami could not tolerate the separation. He left just after. For Raghunath Das Goswami, his whole life was the service of the Lord and his devotees. Without Lord Chaitanya, he saw no reason to live. He decided in his mind he would go to Vrindavan, and from the highest peak of Sri Govardhan Hill, he would jump and end his life. He walked to Vrindavan. When he arrived, he went to offer his respects to Rupa and Sanatana Goswamis. When he saw them, he understood that they are the very embodiments of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda's mercy. That Lord Chaitanya is living through these two great souls. He found such happiness in their association. When he told them his plan to jump from Govardhan Hill, they ordered him, "No, you cannot do that. You have already said to us that you are our servant. So this is how we want you to serve. We want you to live with us as our brother in Vrindavan. And every day speak the glories of what you have seen and heard of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes and teachings." The three of them lived like brothers. And soon Gopal Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami came to Vrindavan. Raghunath Das Goswami became one of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. Rupa and Sanatan gave him a place of residence on the banks of Sri Radha Kund. Should I continue for a few more minutes? All right. At Sri Radha Kund, he performed his bhajan, constantly immersed in the loving service of the Lord. His standard of devotional service was incredible. It is described that his regulative principles were like the lines in stone. You cannot erase the lines in stone. No condition of the environment could ever disturb his vows. He would bow down prostrate to the deity 1,000 times minimum a day. He would bow down to the Vaishnavas at least 2,000 times in prostration every day. And he would chant at least 100,000 names of Krishna every day. Raghunath Das Goswami would perform his devotional service 22 and a half hours a day. He had 1.5 hours for eating and sleeping. And sometimes he was so absorbed in the service, he forgot about that. One time Sanatana Goswami was coming to meet him. Raghunath Das was sitting at the banks of Sri Radha Kund, just chanting. And there were tigers. A tiger came. He was drinking the water just close to Raghunath Das. And Sanatana Goswami saw Shyam Sundar, the Supreme Lord of Vrindavan, come with a stick to protect Raghunath Das from the danger of the tiger. This is found in Bhakti Ratnaka. It is said another time when Sanatana Goswami came to visit. It was the middle of the day in the summer season. The sun was scorching hot. And Raghunath was just sitting with his eyes closed, totally immersed in chanting Harinam. Srimati Radharani appeared, and with her veil, she was shading Raghunath Das from the sun, as she was directly in the sunlight, perspiring to protect her devotee who was taking shelter of her holy names. Sanatana Goswami appealed to Raghunath Das Goswami that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught us unconditional devotional service. When we perform our service, we do not want Krishna to serve us. We are Krishna's servants. This is a very great difference between the spiritual path of Lord Chaitanya and many other religious conceptions. In the world, most people worship God because they want God to give something to them. If I do this, I will get that. Srimad Bhagavatam, Prahlad Maharaj says, if I ask anything from you, my Lord, anything from you, for my service, then I'm not a devotee. I'm a businessman. I'm giving and getting. Unconditional service means simply for the satisfaction of the Lord. Thakur Bhakti Vinod prayed, my Lord, if you want, you can protect me. If you want, you can kill me. You have every right to deal with me in any way you please because I am your servant forever, unconditional. We may not have this consciousness, but this should be our ideal. This should be our aspiration. It is only this state of consciousness by which we can find the real satisfaction of the soul. When you water the root of the tree, automatically every part of the tree is satisfied. How to please Krishna? Krishna and Radharani are serving you! This was intolerable to Raghunath Das. So Sanatana Goswami had for him a bhajan kutir built where he can sit inside and just chant the holy names of Krishna, worship Sri Sri Radharani and Lord Sri Krishna without creating a disturbance. What is disturbance? The Lord giving something to me. Raghunath Das Goswami was one day thinking that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu discovered Radha Kunda and Shama Kunda. According to Padma Purana and other Vedic literatures, it is the highest, most sacred place in all of the creation. The place of the most confidential, loving pastimes of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. But even the Brijabasis did not know where it was. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was inquiring when he came to Arithagram, the place where Aristasura was killed. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw two little ponds of water in a paddy field and knew and understood this is Shamakunda Radhakunda. In ecstasy, he took his bath, offered beautiful prayers, and took the mud to place tilak on 12 parts of his body. Raghunath Das understood that the Lord gave the Goswamis the mission to excavate the holy places of Krishna's pastimes and reveal them to the world. So he was thinking, we should build a beautiful ghat for both Radhakund and Shamkund. But then he was thinking, this will be too much disturbance, and then I have to collect funds, and then I have to manage. So he just left that idea aside. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew his heart, his desire to serve. There was a man who went high into the Himalayas to Badrikashram. He had a lot of money. He was going to build a temple, a new temple for Badri Vishal, the deity of Badrinath. When he was there in the snowy, icy region of the Himalayas, Badri Vishal, the deity of Badrinath, appeared to that merchant and said, "If you want to please me, take all your money to Vrindavan. Find the great devotee, Raghunath Das Goswami, and use this money to renovate Shyamakunda and Radhakunda." So when he came down and made this appeal to Raghunath Das Goswami, he accepted it. It is said that Raghunath Das Goswami, he would take his bath in Radhakunda and Shyamakunda 3 times every day. I was constantly chanting the holy names of the Lord and meditating on the pastimes of the Lord. Every single day on the banks of Sri Radhakunda, for at least 3 hours, he would discuss Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, as he has personally seen with his eyes or heard from Swarup Damodar Goswami. One of the persons who attended each and every day was Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. For years and years and years, Raghunath spoke 3 hours every day. Wouldn't it have been nice if we could go to those katas? But we can, by reading Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita.
Yes, we should continue. Definitely we should continue. Just a question, how you want to continue. I think it's about 4:15 or 4:20. Think about the offering will be made soon, and then 5 o'clock we want to take the shadam. So whether it's Sikkhah or Kirtan, you can...
Please tell me what order you do.
I don't know how he does this thing. He calls himself my slave. And completely controls me. What I would suggest is 5 more minutes, finish up the katha, and then we have kirtan for 5. I think the reason I suggest that is because a lot of the mothers with the children, they can't attend the katha because their children sometimes make noise, but they would come for the kirtan, so that way they could also participate.
So I shall end in 5 minutes.
What?
5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
He has accepted me as his slave servant. You only give orders to your servants. Thank you very much. Actually, I was speaking extra just so that he would accept me as his servant. Give me an order. So as an obedient servant, I will end in 5 minutes. Approximately.
You're the only servant I know that never loses. We compete. But generally, the master should win.
You have defeated.
The master always wins, but somehow I always lose. I don't know how you're saying that. I am under you.
You have just defeated me again.
We'll see the final result.
So where was I? So Raghunath Das Goswami, he was speaking, and Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami attended every day. All the Vaishnavas assembled in Vrindavan requested Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami to write down in book form what he had heard from Sri Raghunath Das Goswami. And that became Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. At the end of every single chapter, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami falls at the feet in complete surrender to Raghunath Das Goswami and Sri Rupa Goswami, praying for their mercy. As the construction was going on, one night in a dream, Yudhisthira Maharaj appeared to Raghunath Das Goswami and said, "Myself and my four brothers have appeared on the banks of Shamakund as trees to witness the eternal pastimes of Sri Sri Radha Shamsundar. Please do not cut us down." So Raghunath Das Goswami built Shamakund around these trees, therefore it is not rectangular like Sri Radha. On another occasion, Raghunath Das Goswami was seeing that people were actually washing vessels and doing all cleaning in the waters of Radhakund and Shamkund. This was intolerable for him. But there was no other source of water. So he asked his associates to dig a well. So they were digging. They hit a rock. Blood profusely flowed from that rock. And this information came to Raghunath Das. He said, stop digging. That night, Krishna appeared to him and said, "Govardhan Hill is my body. And the various parts of Govardhan Hill are the parts of my body. That rock is my tongue. Now you take it out, put it in a temple, and let the devotees worship it." So even today, by Raghunath Das Goswami's loving devotion, the tongue of Govardhan is there for us to have darshan and worship. I will end very soon, but I'll tell one little story. Srila Prabhupada explains that Raghunath Das Goswami, his renunciation was so deep with such love that at one point in his life, he was just taking a little palmful of buttermilk a day for food. Buttermilk is very thin. And sometimes he would forget to even take that. And he was so humble. Now, if you were just taking a little buttermilk every day, you would probably become proud. At least I would. Look at, they're eating samosas and kachoris and halva and rice and dal. I'm eating buttermilk. But Raghunath Das Goswami was not like that. Because if renunciation makes us proud, then that renunciation hardens our heart and deprives us of love of God. Real renunciation is humility. The renunciation of the false ego is the essence of Vairagya. When Raghunath Das Goswami would be taking that little palmful of buttermilk, sometimes a little leaf cup of buttermilk, he would think in his mind that I'm such a condemned sense gratifier, that I'm wasting so much time that I could be doing service for Krishna just to maintain this body and enjoy my senses. That was the honest humility of his heart. He had become emaciated. Now one day, he was suffering from serious stomach disorder. The son of Sripad Vallabhacharya, whose name is Vitthalnath, he heard about this and brought two Ayurvedic doctors to Radhakund to meet Raghunath Das, because he was really in pain. They diagnosed him. And they came to the conclusion that he has indigestion from overeating. The devotees, what bogus doctors is this? Even Vitthalnath, this is fancy. This is, how can you say Raghunath Das Goswami overeating? This is blasphemy. And he said, "No, we can tell you exactly what he's eaten too much sweet rice. Rice cooked in milk and yogurt, and milk and sugar." So then they really thought these doctors were bogus. But then Raghunath Das Goswami revealed to them a secret in their heart, in his heart. He said, "Actually, what he's saying is true. In my internal meditation, I was serving Shri Radha Krishna in Vrindavan. And Srimati Radharani was so pleased with me that she personally gave me a bowl of sweet rice that she and Lord Sri Krishna had drunk from. And I drank it all. In my meditation. His meditation was the highest reality. So then he took the medicine and got better. There are many stories to tell. Raghunath Das Goswami is our Prayojana Acharya. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained in all the Vedas there are three subjects. Sambandha, establishing our relationship with Lord Krishna. The deity of Sambandha is Madan Mohan. And the Sambandha and Acharya is Sanatana Goswami. And then there is Abhideya. Worshipping and serving the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna with great attachment. The Abhideya Murti is Sri Radha Govinda and the Acharya is Rupa Goswami. And the ultimate goal, Prayojana, is the pure love of God of the gopis of Vrindavan. That is the culmination, the summit of all spiritual practices. The Prayojana Murti is Gopi Jana Balabha, or Radha Gopinath. And the Prayojana Acharya is Raghunath Das Goswami. He was absorbed in the highest ecstasies of love of God. He wrote three books, the Stavamala, the Dhanakeli Chintamani, and Mukta Charit, in which the highest realizations of love of God are revealed to the world. But most of all, his example was the shining personification of the ultimate goal that we should all aspire for. Rupa Goswami wrote the book Lalita Madhava, which describes the separation of Radha and Krishna, the ecstasies of Radharani in separation from Krishna. He gave the manuscript to Raghunath Das Goswami. He was reading it. He was so absorbed in feelings of separation that he was weeping and crying in agony, the agony of the ecstasy of Vipralamba, 24 hours a day. The devotees could not tolerate seeing him in a state, so they told Rupa Goswami. So Rupa Goswami wrote another book talking about the meeting, the happy meetings of Radha and Krishna, and named it Dhanakeli Komudi. He went to Raghunath Das Goswami and said, "That Lalita Madhava, I have to do some editing work. I have a new book for you. Take this." And when Raghunath Das Goswami was reading about the ecstatic meetings of Radha and Krishna, he became very, very happy. And all the devotees became satisfied. This was his pastimes in the highest reality of Krishna consciousness. And this is the gift Srila Prabhupada has come to give all of us. A connection to such supremely munificent acharyas. Raghunath Das Goswami is Nitya Siddha. According to Gaur Ganodaya Shtipika, Kavi Karnapur explains that he is Rati Manjari. Some call him Rasmanjari and some Panumati Gopi. He's an eternal associate, an eternal maidservant of the servants of Srimati Radharani from the spiritual world. But he came in this world to assist Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda Prabhu in giving the gift of entrance into Goloka Vrindavan to everyone and anyone. I will end with one interesting point. But I'm your obedient servant. Of the six Goswamis, it's very interesting to note that Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, when they first approached the Lord in Ram Keli, they first approached Haridas Thakur and Nityananda Prabhu. And they, Haridas Thakur and Nityananda Prabhu, brought them in for the darshan of Lord Chaitanya. Sri Jiva Goswami, he went to Navadweep, surrendered to Nityananda Prabhu. Nityananda Prabhu performed the Navadweep Dham Parikrama with him, and then with his blessings he went to Vrindavan to join Rupa Sanatana. And Raghunath Das Goswami, it was through the blessings of Nityananda Prabhu at the Chira Dahi Mahotsav, the Chip Rice Festival in Panihati. Nityananda Prabhu placed his feet on Raghunath Das Goswami's head and blessed him to achieve the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So these are the greatest Nitya Siddha Acharyas on the highest realizations of conjugal love. But yet in this world they taught us the importance of approaching Haridas Thakur, taking shelter of his example of chanting the holy names. They taught us how to worship Lord Nityananda Prabhu to achieve service into the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Prabhupada installed Gauratai deities all over the world. Srila Prabhupada gave the Namacharyas gift of regular chanting of the holy names every day to millions of people all over the world. Srila Prabhupada is giving us the true path by which we can all be inspired by and follow in the footsteps of Sri Raghunath Das Goswami. Let us offer our deepest gratitude forever unto his lotus feet. Thank you very much.
Mark, when I asked you to stop, then you brought the katha to another level, making me stopping you appear like the Chan Kadma. So I don't know how you might serve.
Not like that. Sean Kazi made everyone proud and making everyone smile and laugh. I'm sorry if I speak too much. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki.